Friends, every Easter morning, the church puts before us the same gospel. There are a number of different visits to the empty tomb, but the church always puts this particular one involving Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John before us. And there's a couple details in this account that are fascinating, and I think really instructive for how maybe we all come to this Easter Mass, and instructive for how we should move on from here. The first is that after Mary Magdalene goes back and tells Peter and John, we're told that they run to the tomb, but we're told that John runs faster than Peter, which is a strange detail. And the traditional wisdom throughout the centuries has been that John is younger than Peter, and therefore he just runs faster. It would kind of be like if Monsignor Billion and I were running to the tomb. I think you all know who would win that race, but don't say it out loud. So that's the traditional wisdom, but that seems a little superficial to me. Here's another possibility. This will test your passion narrative knowledge. When's the last time Peter saw Jesus? Versus when's the last time John saw Jesus? Before this morning. You might remember Peter's last glance at Jesus is after his third denial. Sees him across the courtyard. Looks at him. It's the last time he saw Jesus. Last time John saw Jesus was at the foot of the cross, which he's the only one that was there at the end, and the one to which Jesus entrusts his mother to his care. So a simple question, who's a little more excited to see Jesus? I just envision in my own mind, John is excited. I mean, John has nothing to worry about. John is sprinting. And Peter is doing what I think you and I do when we have to make a tough phone call to someone and we have to tell them bad news or something, and we hope we get their voicemail. But in case we don't get their voicemail, we rehearse our speech ahead of time. And actually, today, we just text them now, right? If it's bad news, we just send them a text. I think Peter's doing that. I think he's rehearsing his apology speech. I mean, if the last time you saw him was that glance in the courtyard after your third denial, you have a lot of explaining to do. And so I don't think he's as anxious to get to the tomb as John. But then here's the second detail, which is equally fascinating. John gets there, he looks in, and he doesn't go in. And he waits for Peter to catch up. Just imagine Monsignor Billion catching up. He catches up, and John lets Peter go in by himself. And again, the sort of the traditional wisdom throughout the centuries has been that this is sort of an act of deference to Peter as sort of the head of the apostles and so on. But it could be something else, which is that John is so sensitive to the spiritual needs of others that he knows he doesn't need alone time with Jesus. If Jesus happens to be in there, he doesn't need to talk to him. He's been totally faithful. He knows Peter needs to talk to him. And so John, who's often depicted in the Gospels as sort of the closest to Jesus, at the Last Supper, he's depicted as having his head resting on Jesus's breast. In other words, he's close to Jesus' heart. And so John is so sensitive, not to what he wants, but to the spiritual needs of Peter, that he lets Peter go in first. When he finds out Jesus isn't in there, John joins Peter. And you've got to stay tuned for the time Peter actually gets to talk to the Lord alone. Right? It seems like it's a few weeks until, and we'll hear it in the gospel in a few weekends, that Peter gets that alone time with Jesus and gets to reconcile with what he did at the betrayal. But what is fascinating about this account, right, is that it is so instructive to, I think, first of all, how we come to this Mass every year. I know that in my own life, in my 33 years of life, so I'm giving you my age, I have come to this day sometimes more like Peter, and I've come to this celebration in some years more like John. And maybe that's true for us, that some of us come here this year more like John. You have been so faithful. You have made a relationship with God this past year an incredible priority. You have grown in your relationship with God and with others. You've stayed faithful with Jesus through tough times and endured through difficult temptations. Maybe you come here like that today and God bless you. But maybe you come here today more like Peter was going to the tomb that morning. You feel like you haven't been faithful to Jesus. You haven't made a relationship with God a priority. This hasn't been first on your mind and your heart. That there are things for which you need to be reconciled to Jesus for. The good news is both Peter and John got to that tomb and they both belonged there. And if we come here as John this year, we need to help the Peters. Right? I always get a kick out of, we hear this wonderful gospel, and then there are people at church that don't want to give up their chairs to people that come, you know, only a couple times a year. I'm like, you're missing the whole point. John let Peter go in first, right? He was sensitive to the spiritual needs of another, not his own desires and wants. Of course he wanted to see Jesus, but he knew Peter needed to see him more. And for that, he defers to Peter, to Peter's spiritual needs. We are called to be like John in that respect, right? We are here because we value being at the empty tomb, but we are called to invite others and to help remove obstacles from others to be able to enter the tomb with us. And that however we come to this Easter morning this year, and I would concede that for most of us, we probably come every year as a mixture of Peter and John. We've been faithful at times, we've struggled at times, we've given in to temptation at times, we've been strong at times. We come as a mixture of Peter and John that morning. But the good news is that both of them were at the tomb and both of them belong at the tomb. And the key for us is to enter into the tomb. I mentioned last night at the vigil, the Christian life cannot be lived as bystanders. We cannot live as onlookers outside of the game. We've got to enter the tomb like Peter and John to encounter the mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection so that we can then share that like John with others. And so friends, wherever you're at today, if you come to this Mass more like Peter, more like John, a mixture of the two, Jesus invites you here to enter the tomb, to enter into the mystery of his death and resurrection, to die to sin and to selfishness and to live for God and for others. That is the core of the Paschal mystery. That's what Jesus died and rose to teach us. That death to sin and life for others and for God is the key to living like Christ. It's the key to experiencing the fullness of joy in this world and the fullness of glory in the life to come. Amen.